Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is going to be podcast 372, and we're going to kind of kick this old school. It's really interesting, the march of technology, because this was a year in podcast history where I added a lot of technology, different ways to record, the mobile podcast command unit, and so, you know, it's been a long time since I just took the portable recorder out and did a podcast without the whole process. Now, you know, I'm going to talk about that a little bit in this podcast. It's Memorial Day weekend, or getting close to it, so this is going to be an update. I may do another podcast for Memorial Day weekend, but I was a little surprised to learn that Memorial Day weekend was going to be the weekend before the last weekend in May, right? So it's this weekend instead of next weekend because, of course, Monday, June 1st, is next weekend. So we have to have it's the last Monday in May. So we have an early Memorial Day weekend. So this will be a podcast for your trip up to the lake or while you're up at the lake, just sitting around or whatever it is that you're doing, or just maybe even going to work, because people do work a lot on Memorial Day weekend because services have to be up and running, and people who have small businesses, of course, or any kind of business, we don't have any days off. Not that we care, but we don't have any days off. So this is going to be kind of a walk and talk, you know, wander around in the park discussion podcast. I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I don't know if it's going to suck or not. And that's always, you know, bothersome, a little bit weird, but I think that it's time to do one of these podcasts, walk and talk and walk around here in the middle of the night out here in the cool darkness. So that's what we're going to do in podcast 372, the Bob Davis Podcasts, The New Talk. So it's Memorial Day weekend, and it's beautiful weather right now. It is, 65, 70 in the upper Midwest during the day, and 45 or 50 at night, and it's beautiful. And most people don't have their AC on. They don't need it. Most people just have their windows open. A lot of people I know actually sleep with their windows open at night, even though it's cold. I don't, but many people do. Now, I haven't had my AC on because it's not hot enough for me to have the AC on yet, but it's going to get hot. I was talking to my friend Greg Ryan from Ryan Plumbing and Heating recently, and he said, you got to get people ready for the global warming summer. And he kind of laughed because we both think this is going to be a really hot summer. I just have feelings that this is going to be a hot summer. So as you head into a hot summer, you're going to want the AC to work. And really what's important is you want to make sure that it works efficiently so that you save money, because when we get to late July, early August, and we have those 90 plus degree days, the AC is going to be working overtime. So you want to have Ryan Plumbing and Heating come out and check it. A lot of times the outdoor coils have to be cleaned off, or they have to replace the filters to make sure that it's efficient. And money is cheap right now. So a lot of people are, you know, loans. They're getting loans to build additions on their houses and new bathrooms and doing work that's needed to have been done for a long time. And if you're doing plumbing stuff, don't do it yourself, right? Get somebody good. Get a professional. That's Ryan Plumbing and Heating to help you with the plumbing and for emergency service. Right now, my water heater is acting up. I got to check that out. So Ryan Plumbing and Heating is the people to call when it comes to emergency service. In St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul for over 60 years, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Well, I've got my coffee in hand, and I'm in my park. I have a park right next to my house in suburban America, where I moved quite a little while ago now. It was almost 3 years ago that I moved from the city out to the suburbs. And I had a lot of concern about that because I'm really an urban kind of person. But, you know, I was doing mornings and I was living in an apartment in Uptown, which I loved. And I just couldn't sleep because it was too loud. I would try to go to bed at 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night, and I couldn't sleep because I just couldn't stand the sound of people out having fun. And then I was laying there in bed trying to go to sleep at 8:30, which for me is ridiculous. So finally, I moved out here to the suburbs, rented a house, and I love it. The broadcast bunker. It's a great place, but you know, when you walk around in the middle of the night, there's really nothing to look at. It's just like a museum. It's a weird kind of experience walking around here in the middle of the night. So I'm out here in the soccer field / softball field, whatever, by the house, which, you know, one of the reasons I moved to the suburbs was it's kind of where everyone lives, even though there's many people living in the city, you know, and you may listen to me in Minneapolis and St. Paul, you may listen to me in Chicago. If you are in Chicago, unless you're lucky enough to be living in a really tony neighborhood on the north side, most people live in the suburbs, southwest and north in Chicago, or in towns around the city, and they'll say I'm from the Chicago area, but really they're from the suburbs, and I am too. You know, I was born on 95th Street, but I grew up in the suburbs. So it's weird to be here because it's kind of like where I grew up. So it's kind of a weird suburban kind of thing. And I could be in Cleveland, I could be in Akron, I could be in Sioux Falls, I could be in Chicago, I could be in Detroit. Just about any major city in the United States, and it would be very similar to where I am. So if you live in any of the suburbs close in or ring suburbs in Minneapolis and St. Paul, then, you know, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Everybody has a park near their house, and most of the time people go to the parks and take their kids to the park, you know, during the day. I'm one of the few people who walks around at 3 o'clock in the morning out here, and so it just has this weird sort of deserted quality to it, which is, oddly enough, kind of a metaphor. Is that the right word? It's kind of a metaphor for the odd sort of time that we're having. And it's almost like it's starting to slow down. And here's how I can tell when it starts to slow down. You know that I have gone back and forth over the years with the love-hate relationship with the news and drawing from the news to find things to talk about and create content based on current events rather than just something that's completely internal, although I do those kinds of podcasts too. But, you know, generally it's how I train myself to do talk radio, which is you draw from current events and talk about current events, and it comes in ebbs and flows. I mean, that's just the way it's always been. Sometimes there's a lot to talk about and sometimes there isn't. And as we head into summer, there's kind of a weird slowing down right now. It feels like we're kind of slowing down. And I know not everyone is slowing down, but it feels like, and I'm just talking really now specifically about Minnesota, it just feels like we're now heading into that sort of summertime kind of thing, even though it's, you know, it's not chilly out here anymore. It's not inhospitable anymore. I would love to have a fire right now, but I don't dare do that. But if you can't come out here in your bare feet. I have a jacket on. But it was a beautiful day today. Absolutely gorgeous. Blue skies and brilliant May sunshine. So we are heading into a good stretch of good weather. And people are getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend and for the summer in general. I had to get, you know, I have this mobile podcast command unit. I have to devote a day, usually a day every other week or a day once a week, to mobile podcast command duties. So the tires need to be armor-alled. It needs to be washed. Little things need to be done mechanically if there's an issue. So I finally, you know, I've got all these lenses from the lights for the ambulance that have to be replaced. So I got all that done. And then there was a marker light that I needed. And I went to, I'm going to give somebody a plug. They're not advertisers, but I'm going to give my friends over at Everest Ambulance in St. Paul on Rankin Road, just off Rankin, a big plug, because they have been very patient with me and helped me out with finding little things that I need to get. But I had to buy a marker light, not a light, but, you know, the little amber thing that goes over the top of the thing. I mean, you guys that are into cars and stuff will know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's kind of a... Anyway, I had to do this, but I ended up driving all over the metro, which was kind of cool and exhausting, because I left here about noon or so and got over to Everest And it turned out the marker light that they thought that they had didn't work. So I had, then they said, well, go to Northern Tool, which, by the way, if you've never been to Northern Tool, that's kind of a cool place too. Like, they have all kinds of crazy tools. So I went to Northern Tool and they didn't have it. So then I ended up going to Forest Lake. Well, I was in Forest Lake. That's right. They sent me to Forest Lake to go to this Northern Tool. Now, Forest Lake is in Minnesota, kind of north of the city. I love Forest Lake. I've been going to Forest Lake for a long time. And I saw this RV place. So I was like, I'm going to go into this RV place. And this is, you know, this is kind of a fun thing to talk about, because this is kind of, this is, it's always interesting to me to go places that I would not normally go during the day. I was actually driving around looking for a car wash because this thing is so gigantic. You can't just pull it into a regular car wash. You know, you have to find a truck wash because it's just too, it's 10 feet high, basically. 9 feet is something like 9 feet high. So, you know, I'm looking around for a car wash and I see this RV place. So I went to the Holiday, got some cash, went to the RV place. I was like, hey, I'm kind of looking for this marker light. This is what it looks like. And the woman goes, let's go look at it. So we go out. There's a whole bunch of, you know, old RVs around. And I did find something out about RVs that I thought was interesting. I said, well, it's kind of old. It's a 2000. And she goes, well, that's not old in RV land. And she came out and looked at the ambulance and said, yeah, we got one, I think. I'm going to look in the book and see if we can order it. So I went back in, and, you know, while she was looking through the book, this guy walks up and she goes, hey, Steve, do we have this? And he goes, he looks at it. Now, remember, they've got a shelf in the back full of, like, every kind of indicator light that you can think of. You know, I don't know how anybody could find anything in there. And he goes, yeah, we got one. And he goes back and digs around in there for about 2 minutes and pulls this thing out, and it's fairly close to what I needed. In fact, close enough that it would actually fit onto this housing. So I climbed up there and bashed it on and then super glued it. So, well, at least it won't come out. Now, the funny thing is that, you know, I'm just going to quickly say this because I don't, you know, it's just a typical one thing after another kind of thing with these things is, so when there was no cover on it, the light lit. So, you know, and it's probably, the little light in there is probably 15 years old. So when I put the cover on it, I probably knocked the light off. So now the cover's on it, but the light's out. I pulled into the revetment, you know, at the RV place where I park it. And tonight when I got home and I looked up and it was out. So, you know, now it's a whole new litany of other kinds of problems. But it was really interesting to drive around the whole metro because, you know, I spend a lot of time at the bunker, you know, making sales calls, doing what I do, preparing podcasts and so forth. And it's great because I don't really need to go anywhere. Most of my life is in about a 4 or 5 mile radius. And usually it's not on any highways because I try to avoid the highways as much as possible because it's a disaster. So I ended up driving around in the metro and got a chance to really, you know, be part of traffic. And no wonder people are upset because the traffic situation is insane. And, you know, I've done a lot of podcasts about, you know, cutting the cord and working, and, you know, not having an office and not working in an office and being able to pretty much take everything on the road. And that's one of the reasons for Mobile Podcast Command was, as we've talked about many times, was to be able to just, you know, unplug, jump in the truck and travel in the truck without you know, without having to be tethered to anything. And, you know, I'm heading out, getting ready to head out again. But, you know, I don't blame people for really being frustrated if they have to drive around, because this really, the only time that I was in really heavy traffic, like heavy afternoon drive traffic, was, you know, when I came back, I stopped by ex-government cars because they are one of the sponsors. And of course, Ed yelled at me for not washing the ambulance. And so I went back to show Ed that I that I had washed the ambulance. So he was like, okay, good. I still got to wash it again, but I got the tires all armor-alled up and everything looks good. So, you know, that's why I drove, literally, I went from the west side of the metro to St. Paul to Everest Ambulance. Then I went to Forest Lake, drove around Forest Lake. Then I drove back. So I went 35 north, 35E to 35 north, then 35 south to 694, and then around to 169, and then to, what is that, Medicine Lake, which goes down to Nevada Avenue North, which is where ex-government cars is. And I got to see a fair amount of, you know, the metro in terms of traffic and just exhausting. And I don't, you know, I called a friend of mine who's a legislator and I said, you know what this town needs is more trains to take the pressure to take the pressure off of the highways, which is a joke because that is not, those trains are not going to have anything to do with taking any pressure off of the highways. The thing that was interesting to me is there's so much construction in this part of the world that it doesn't matter what time of the day you go out, you're just going to get into gridlock no matter where you go. And then they turn around and people complain about traffic and they say things like, well, we need more trains for this. And it's not that. It's just the construction. Although I did read that they are doing some all-night construction, except where was it? It was someplace in the metro. I don't know where. There was a huge traffic jam Wednesday morning because they're supposed to take the cones up because they worked all night on this project to try to avoid the traffic issues. They're supposed to take the cones up at, or the whatever those things are, the traffic cones up at something like 5:30 a.m. And they waited until almost 7 which, you know, I know because I used to have to be at work at, you know, 5 a.m. and 5:30, and there is a marked difference between the traffic at 5:30 and the traffic at 6:30. In fact, there's actually a 5 or 6 minute window that I noticed that if you, I used to have to be on the air at 6 a.m. when I was working at the News Talk 11:30, and if I left, you know, I would leave at the absolute last second. I would wait until, you know, so I could walk through the door as the second hand swept over the 6 o'clock, you know. And if I left the house at 5:35, it was usually no traffic. But if I left the house at 5:50, well, that's too late to get over there by 6. But if I left the house, it was only 15 minutes away. But if I left the house at anything after 5:30, generally, there was a ton more traffic than when I left at 5:20 or 5:15. So, but I just like to walk in to the studio and go right on the air. I hate sitting around waiting to be on the air. It drives me nuts. But anyway, that's kind of today's experience. But it just felt like things, you know, are starting to slow down. And when I'm reading the news, you know, we have this Memorial Day weekend is the first big weekend of summer. You know, I don't know what it's like in the West. I think the big holiday in summer in the United States is the 4th of July. But Memorial Day up in this part of the country, the upper Midwest, is the big weekend when everybody puts in the dock. If they haven't done it already, they get the boat ready, they get the RVs ready, they get everything ready for summer. And Memorial Day is when you sort of establish a beachhead. You know, you take everything up to the lake and get ready because you're, after Memorial Day, people are going to be spending more time at the lake. And if the kids can, as soon as they get out of school, they go up there. And if somebody can stay there, if mom can stay or dad can stay for any length of time, then everybody goes up to somebody's cabin, somebody in the family, some friends or whatever. And that kind of starts now. So I had this real sort of resorty kind of feeling today that as I went around and I asked the people at the RV center, I said, are you guys busy? And she was like, oh, my God, everybody waits till the last minute to bring the RV in. And then we, you know, we have to begin this process of figuring out, you know, what we have to do and getting it done for everybody because they want to take their RV out or their RV up to the lake or whatever. So I'm now becoming acquainted with that part of culture because of the mobile podcast command center. And I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend, but the other reason that I feel like things are slowing down and maybe they'll speed up again. I don't know. Maybe they'll speed up again this weekend because obviously in different parts of the world and in, you know, other countries, they don't have this holiday. Now, Memorial Day is pretty much a holiday for everyone. Congress is taking a recess, so those guys will be gone. But they'll also be doing campaign events and they'll be doing Memorial Day events and things of that nature all over the country. So we have a probably, as near as I can figure, if you're listening to this on Friday morning, you're probably, if you're not in, if you don't have your own business, or if you aren't, you know, kind of in top management, or if you're not, you know, the people that are sort of support staff that are going to be working all weekend, you probably have Friday off, and you have Monday off, which means people are heading into a four-day weekend. And in the United States, there's just, you can feel it right before these weekends. You can sort of feel this, everything starts to slow down. And It's also true that in doing the podcast, because of the way I do what I do, I kind of get ahead a little bit. You know, I've been talking about artificial intelligence. I've been talking about robotics. I've been talking about technology. I've been talking about all that stuff. And I've really kind of salted, what was the word? I've kind of planted the seeds for those kinds of things. And now suddenly people are all writing about that. I did a big podcast about the economy. And now suddenly people are starting to write about the economy and, you know, all sorts of back and forth about the guy that wrote the article that said, this is the new normal, Tyler Cohen. And just the whole ISIS Syria thing. And at the same time, in all the other areas of engagement, everybody seems to have withdrawn because they're getting ready to go up to the lake. You know, they're getting ready to head out for the weekend wherever it is that they go. And I'm telling you, I don't care if you live in Madison or Milwaukee or Chicago or Minneapolis, St. Paul. You know, everybody has some kind of lake place that they go for these weekends generally. And if they don't, they're going to go to a state park or they're going to go camping. Although I don't think I want to go camping in this weather. It's not quite warm enough. Although some people love this. You know, they go to some state park and light a fire and they don't care if it's... you know, it's probably 55 out here, 50. It's been, you know, like I said, a beautiful day. My friend from Arizona went camping up by Payson, where I was during one of the trips that I took last year and then this year as well in Podcast Mobile Command. I went through Payson, beautiful place. And he was up on the ridge there camping, and the night before they rolled in, it had snowed 5 or 6 inches up there. So it's still springy, kind of cold, which I don't like. I am all for heat and humidity and passion, which is, you know, what I'm trying to do with these podcasts, too, is that it just reflect the passion that I feel for, you know, everyday current events types of things. And I'm not feeling it tonight. You know, just don't. It's, I don't know whether I'm tired because I drove all over the metro. And of course, driving the ambulance, as I've discussed many times, you can't change lanes and flip and turn around and do all these. You're pretty much stuck wherever you are, which doesn't bother me when I'm driving that thing. So if you saw the podcast ambulance driving around the metro, then that's what I was doing. I was getting all my errands taken care of before the weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do. I might drive up to the lake this weekend. I don't know what I'm going to do. We'll see. But you just can feel the momentum of news events starting to slow down. Now, I'm not saying something isn't going to happen, but whenever I kind of just lose the, and it isn't that I lose the passion for doing a podcast, I just kind of lose the passion for what's going on in the news because there doesn't seem to be anything more to add. I don't know how many more articles I can see about light rail in the Twin Cities before I puke. I mean, it's just, and I don't want to ruin the weekend mood by going off on that stuff. It's like there's a, it's kind of like this bubble as you head into the weekend. It's like, you know, come on, man. Everybody is, they're excited about putting the dock in, although you don't want to put the dock in unless it's sunny and warm. That's putting the dock in when it's 45 degrees and the water is like 40 is, even with waders, is not a pleasant experience. I've done that more than once. And putting big, huge, heavy pieces, like my favorite part about putting the dock in is, you know, you're wearing waders, and we were always told, oh, don't worry about it. You're not going to get wet because you're wearing waders. Well, you don't get wet for the first 45 minutes when you're carrying the big, heavy pieces of dock out because you're standing in the water is up to your knees, but you're not. And I love the way those waders kind of like hug your, you know, they kind of, the water pushes the waders in, the pressure pushes the waders in until they're squeezing you to death. And you feel, you get this sense of security. And we would always, my brothers-in-law and my father-in-law and everybody, we would go up there. And I'm telling you, there were times we put the dock in when there was ice floating on the lake still and ice chunks floating by. And he was always like, well, you're not going to get, don't worry, you're not going to get wet. Just carry that, push that thing out there. And we would push the pieces of dock out there. And it was okay for about 45 minutes. And then you get out where the deeper water is. So and of course, the final sections of the dock are the pieces that have, you know, the ladders on them and all of the wrought iron or whatever it is, iron crap that goes on the dock. And then where you put the boat lift in, the boat lift was a bitch, man, putting that thing in every year because you have to drag it out into the water. And of course it gets stuck and everybody's like, oh, grab it, grab it. God, Jesus, you know, that kind of stuff. And so the thing is, you're out there, the water's freezing, you're freezing, even if you've got like two shirts on, you know, you're out there and you're freezing, and then you get out towards the far end, and then it was like a big contest to see who was going to go on the far end, because as soon as you got on the far end, and there was, the wind would come up, you'd get a drink, as we used to say, and that cold water would go right down your back, and now suddenly, now you're wet, and you're cold, and you're holding this giant thing up, and everybody's like just trying to get it done as fast as possible. But the cool thing was, you know, we'd finish with all that, and I'm talking about those slate gray Memorial Day weekends in Minnesota, where, or Wisconsin, where, you know, it's cold. I mean, it's, there's no two ways about it. It's, you know, it's 42 if you're lucky. And we would be freezing. And I'll never forget, we would come inside, and we didn't have a fireplace. So it was just like, oh my God, I'm so cold. And then we'd always go to the lounge, the local lounge, and we'd have a cheeseburger and some fries. And, you know, at that time I was drinking. So we'd have some libations, or we'd have coffee. And it was always a pleasure at the end of it, and we always share those stories when we all get together about docking and what it's like to do that. It's much better to take it out than it is to put it in, you know, at the end of summer when it's warm and sunny. And then, of course, you get those Memorial Days like we had today. Well, I don't know what Memorial Day is going to be like, but you have days like we had today where it's beautiful and sunny and it's warm, and if you're in the sun, it's great, and that's the day you want to put the dock in. Now, if certain people heard this podcast, they'd say, well, Jesus, you know, you're talking about the dock. How come you're not up here helping us put it in? Because I've put in my time putting the dock in, let me tell you. But that's going to be what people are doing. And then there's all kinds of crap that has to be done around the cabin. You got to pull up old trees, and you got to, you know, clear the gutters, and you got to make sure that the water's on, and people are crawling under houses. And I don't want to ruin that mood talking about... not that that's the most exciting thing in the world, but for some people, it's a big deal, you know, getting the week cabin ready for summer. I mean, that's the whole thing. And if they have an RV, they're doing the same thing. So it's just interesting to me to get out and see what people are doing, and to get out of the bunker and see what people are doing now. And it just, and it's all about this sort of this weekend summer culture, especially up here. I don't know what people do in other parts of the country, but I think everybody has some place that they go. Now, that's not really my cup of tea, like having a big piece of property someplace, or a piece of property someplace where you got to have to take care of it and everything. It would drive me crazy, because I'd be laying in bed thinking about what's going on up at the lake. You know, I hope everything's okay and nobody's broken in. And I suppose people forget about that. But for me, I love having the podcast mobile command unit, because if I want to go up to the lake on Saturday, let's say, you know, I'll just get in and drive up there, you know, and hang out for a while, eat some hot dogs or whatever, and come back Sunday, and it's no big deal. I don't have to open the cabin, close the cabin. Someone else will do that. And I suppose if I wanted to go to a campground, I would or could, but I'm not really into that. But this weekend, what else was I doing this week? I went, I'm trying to figure out sleeping systems for the for the podcast mobile command unit, because we are headed out again. And I should say, yes, I am going to go to the Iowa straw poll, because I want to see it up close. And I want to see, you know, I'm still seeing all this stuff that now they're getting quotes from the Iowans about the Iowa straw poll. And people in Iowa are saying, you know, the people of Iowa want to see candidates that are going to come out and talk to them. And they're the ones that, and it's just like, it's one state. And I'm of the opinion that all of this action with Iowa is based on a few hundred people, especially when we're talking about Republicans. And I'm of the opinion that we're basing so much coverage and so many opinions about certain candidates, depending on the year. Now, this is a year of, at least in terms of the presidency, of Democratic incumbency. But and so the challengers generally have more candidates. So if it was a Republican incumbency, I think you would see more Democrat candidates. And so then, because New Hampshire and Iowa, among others, are the first states to have primaries, there's a lot of focus. But we're talking about people who are activists within one party. So we're not talking about the whole state. And we're not talking about, you know, this being the general election, but that's the way it's being covered. So I want to go down there and I want to actually see how many people show up for this thing. And I want to see the gaggle of reporters. I talked about this week. Hillary Clinton did something in Waterloo. My assumption is that she had a meeting or a breakfast or something with these people. And so in one of the news coverages that I watched online, it just had sort of the raw footage that showed. So she's sitting at this table with 10 or 12 people, and the camera pans around, and there are probably 60 reporters, cameramen, cameras, people, and hangers-on and handlers standing around to watch 10 people have a discussion about God knows what. And this is how we conduct our politics in this country. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I want to see that for myself. I want to be on the scene and talk about how these things are just exaggerated beyond belief. I don't think one state should have that much power. And just for the virtue of having an early primary. I just don't think that's right. I think there's something wrong, and I don't think there should be any laws passed. I think that the people of Iowa should take it upon themselves to say, this is madness, because it's become a tourist industry. It's become an industry down there where they get to pick presidents. They think they're picking the president. And I think that's just beyond, that to me is, not only is it fair, I don't know if I would use the word fair, because life's not fair, but I don't think it helps the political process for either party. And I think it's something that needs to be looked at. And we'll see. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to talk to those people and we'll see what happens. And so that was kind of depressing. I mean, not depressing, but just, yeah, okay, so what else is new? Let's have another story about Hillary Clinton. And then on the international front, there's really nothing new to report. I mean, ISIS took another town, and, you know, this thing is continuing to gather steam. And I think, you know, I know the White House is reexamining their strategy, supposedly, their so-called strategy, trying to figure out what to do about this. Based on the comments I've seen on Facebook post ISIS podcast, I don't think anybody in this country is, A, even thinking about it, B, has no idea what to do, and neither do our leaders, which is not a good thing. We're just kind of in this space right now. I would call this a dead stick space, where we're just dead stick. We're just floating. We're just going along. I wouldn't say we're rudderless, but we're pretty close to it, where we're just kind of trundling along. Nobody really knows the answer to the important questions of the time. Nobody really has a plan. Nobody really knows why these problems are occurring. They don't know what to say about the problems, whatever they are. And so it's just like, well, okay, I guess we just have to wait for the next event. As we have to wait for the water to start boiling, right? And then there'll be some resolution to it. So there's really, I mean, I don't want to say that there's nothing new. It's just probably that some of this stuff is new to some people listening. But if you've been listening to the podcast, it's not new, because I've already covered it. One of the cool things about podcast is once I've done it, I don't have to do it again for a while. If you're doing talk radio, you got to hose that stuff down a couple of times a day. You know, you got to do it early in the morning, and then you got to do it again before you get off the air. And you end up just beating these topics to death, to the point where people are just so sick of hearing about it. There's nothing further to say about it. I pulled up next to some guy in traffic today. I wish I had recorded it, because I pulled up next to this guy after I parked the mobile podcast command unit. I pulled up next to this guy, and he was in a pickup truck, and he had one of the windows down, and I could hear, you know, and it was talk radio, but it was kind of, you know, muffled. So I really couldn't hear what station it was. I couldn't really hear what they were saying, but all I could hear was some guy obviously railing Obama. That's what it sounded like. It was just Obama. And I kept hearing this Obama. And the guy was just sitting there in his pickup truck listening to this, and I just thought, wow, you know, I don't, again, every other word's Obama, every other word's, and it's just not, we're not getting any resolution or forward movement on any of these issues. The cool thing is I don't have to talk about that stuff. So have a great Memorial Day weekend and forget about all this stuff, as many people I'm sure will do, especially for people who are just heavily steeped in politics and events and who are watching this stuff diligently. as though something is about to break. There's going to be some breaking news. I will always say the lesson I learned when I walked away from it is that it takes a long time for this stuff to resolve to the point where something really significant happens. And you can say, okay, now we're headed in a specific direction. And we're headed for that. That's coming. I don't know when. I believe it will be in the near future. I believe it will be before the end of the present administration. I think they think that mainly they're just trying to contain things so that he can just get through his presidency and do a few things that he wants to do using executive power. But I don't think he's going to make it through the presidency. I mean, I think he will not make it through the presidency without some crisis, some major crisis that now we'll be able to say at that point, okay, now we're headed in a particular direction. We can get a resolution on what's going on. And then you're going to hear the big debates about what should we do. And that will be the big thing. Right now, it's just kind of, we're just floating along. There's still, you know, there's concerns. And for people, again, who are just watching this stuff diligently, looking for, you know, coverage of every little thing is breaking news and as being every little thing is important. Every little thing is not important. You know, certainly they add up to something important, but they don't until we reach a point where there is there's some kind of resolution and we're moving in a particular direction, or we have to move in a particular direction as a country one way or the other. And we're not there yet. I don't think anybody knows what the problem is. They don't know if it's a problem. We can't trust data. We don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. Nobody knows what to do. I don't hear anybody, and I've said this a bunch of times, saying, here's what we need to do, where I go, absolutely. Best thing I did in the last 2 weeks is I started reading that book about Burma. A lot of times when I'm eating dinner, I'll print everything up and I'm sitting there with a stack of news and I'm reading the news while I'm eating. And then I figure out what I'm going to talk about after that and then go down and do the podcast. Sometimes it's like right now, it's like 2:30 in the morning. And so I'll be doing the podcast. I tried to do them earlier than this, but I had to take a nap tonight. So I ended up taking a nap for like 2 hours from what time was it? 9 o'clock or so until 11 o'clock. So I got started a little late tonight. So it's like 2:30 in the morning. And so this week I started putting that aside and just reading my book about Burma. And I just would advise everyone, you know, turn that stuff off and read a book this weekend and wait until next week and then we'll see how things resolve. And there'll be tons of stuff to talk about in the last week of May 2015 as summer comes on. And thank you for listening to Podcast 372, the Bob Davis Podcast, The New Talk. Happy Memorial Day weekend. All right, got to head back into the house, but don't want to forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Don't forget, as Greg Ryan said, you got to get ready for the global warming summer. Have Ryan come out and check your AC to make sure it's operating efficiently. Also for emergency service, and if you need work done because you're building a new bathroom, whatever, check out Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Here's the number, 651-224-4771 in St. Paul. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Metro-wide from St. Paul for over 60 years, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Also got to mention the digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast, Mad Case Studios. They do original automotive artwork. They're going to be out at a number of these antique car shows, so you can literally see what Ken does, and I imagine he's going to be working on stuff while he's there. Also, if you click on the banner at thebobdavispodcast.com, it will take you to Mad Case Facebook page, and you can interact with them, and they'll tell you what they do, and then you can see what they do. And I will tell you more as we get closer and closer to these events. Maybe the Mobile Podcast Command Studio will be there as well. I mentioned clicking on the banners. You can click on the banners for all the sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thank you for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn. There are two players now on thebobdavispodcast.com right underneath the big donate button, which I'll tell you about in a second. One of them is for Blog Talk Radio, which is just another way to get the podcasts. You can play the last podcast I uploaded at Blog Talk Radio. The other one is for TuneIn, which also has a player, which just is a way to listen. You can either listen on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen off of Stitcher or TuneIn or Blog Talk Radio, and you can use those players if you want. And thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting, and commenting, and following on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for your donations using that big yellow secure PayPal donation button at the Bob Davis Podcast to support Mobile Podcast Command. And I talked a little bit about that in this podcast. I really appreciate the donations for that. They're coming in, and one of these days I'll have to do another podcast where I mention everyone, kind of do the Captain Crunch roll call of all you guys who have donated. Really appreciate that. And thanks for listening to Podcast 372. It is like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm out here yelling, so I think I better go inside so they don't call the police.